Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni. I'm joined by my regular co-host, Cody Thompson.
How's it going, Pat?
Good to see you, Cody. You didn't say great today. How you doing?
I'm trying my best. I'm doing great.
And we've got our producer on mic, Tracy Noble. How you doing, Trace?
I'm doing great.
And we've got Matt Lencioni, our engineer, not on mic, but we're going to probably ask him some questions today, too.
He's super excited about that.
He loves to be on the mic.
He unplugged his mic to avoid this, and it's not going to work.
Cody, what's our topic today?
Today it's called, This Is Your Wake-Up Call.
That's right. This is your wake-up call. That's the saying that we've heard many times when we used to get wake-up calls in hotels. So much of what we talk about here on At the Table, and for that matter, what I write about in my books, are really, really simple things. And that makes sense because here at the Table Group, we've always believed that there is too much emphasis in the world on being intellectually smart and clever, and not enough on being simply healthy. The best companies, the best leaders, the most successful people can usually trace their success back to sticking to a few very simple things that come down to discipline, wisdom, and common sense. And today's podcast is going to fall squarely into that category. It's so simple, it's almost embarrassingly simple, and yet it makes so much sense. And what I'm talking about is the importance of how we as leaders spend the very first part of our days when we wake up in the meeting. And whether we think of ourselves as leaders of companies or departments or families, schools or churches, our morning routine determines a lot about how effective and successful we're going to be and how effectively we're going to lead others. So we're going to talk about what do we do at the beginning of the day.
Yeah. And even as we were writing some notes and structuring this one, I'm a little convicted already because I'm not good at this. So this is one, sometimes we do podcasts so that we actually will listen to ourselves and do the thing that we are suggesting.
Right. And what I was surprised at the beginning, when we were just talking about this, I said, do you guys wake up stressed every day, kind of about all the things you have to do? And I thought it was just me. You know, I grew up with a little OCD. And so I thought, well, I must just do. And you were all like, no, all of us do. Mm-hmm. And we think that probably most people do.
Yes.
And how we deal with that determines whether we're going to have a proactive, intentional day or a reactive, unintentional one.
Yeah. And yet somehow, I think one of the interesting things about this is I would bet that the majority of people listening to this are like, yeah, you're right. I know you're right. And yet somehow still we choose to be pretty haphazard with how we wake up and what we do in the morning. And in spite of the fact that every person on any social media platform or any self-help person is like, please structure your morning better, do something different, we still somehow find ourselves...
We choose to ignore it.
Exactly. We ignore
it. I know it. It's so crazy. I think it's just the overwhelming power of the first thoughts we have when we wake up. And the fact that we call these things alarm clocks, you know, you got to set your alarm, and that means you're going to wake up alarmed. You know, I mean, think about what is an alarm. An alarm is usually to get people's adrenaline going because there's something on fire, or you went out the wrong door.
That's right.
It's an alarm. You need to be alarmed. And yet we're not supposed to wake up feeling alarmed, but that's exactly what happens.
Yes, we wake up every single morning to something screaming at us. Right. That is not healthy.
Right.
Well, and now that we've transitioned, or many of us have, I'm a little younger, but from the alarm clock with the dinging bells to all of our phones, if you don't think you wake up alarmed, have you ever had someone where their ringer is the same sound as your alarm clock? And it'll ring in the middle of the day and you immediately like, oh no. And you just grab your chair like, oh no, this is the morning all over again. You're alarmed.
Mine was the harp. I did the harp on my iPhone, you know, and yet other people would have that as one of their ringers. And I would be like, every time it went off, I'd go, wake up, it's time to go to school. And the point isn't what that alarm is. The point is what's our mindset when we do get up in the morning.
Yeah, and you just were talking about a really interesting conversation you had. I've been having this conversation with a few friends about morning routines. And well, one, I mean, we have an 8-month-old baby who just learned to sleep. So morning routines have been not a thing. Routine is not really a word we're using very often in our household. But I was talking to a friend who is talking about how he structures his morning, and it gave me, very little goes a long way. And I think too often we over design it and we're like, oh, I have to do all these things. But it can be something, one or two things, very simple things that will dramatically change the way you approach the rest of your day.
Right. You know, just on Saturday, a couple days ago, I was with somebody and he said, he wakes up in the morning and he prays. And that's what I try to do every morning. And it's a discipline, because sometimes you're like, oh, I'm kind of busy, or I got all these things going on. Nope, you're going to stop. And, you know, for me as a follower of Jesus, that's what I try to do. But he goes, you know what else I do? 5 minutes of stretching, 5 minutes of core workout. And I was like, 5 minutes? He goes, oh, it totally makes everything different. I stand up straighter. I feel more in control. And this morning I did it. I'm going to try to do it every day for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Because just a little bit of stretching and a little bit of core work makes me physically ready to go. And if I've prayed before that, I start my day feeling like I know what I want to be, as opposed to reacting to whatever the day is already putting in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. And I will say that one of my big problems, my wife and I have actually talked about getting an old school alarm clock and charging our phones in another room, because immediately all of us get notifications, even while you're sleeping, it's like emails and here's what's on your calendar. And so it is not just an alarm clock and that ambient anxiety that comes on when you hear that. It's like you pick up your phone and before you can even put it back down and try to roll over or do anything, you're seeing emails and text messages and calendar invites that you have to. And if you don't have a good structure around the way you plan your mornings, then you're just being reactive to what is put in front of you.
Right.
What I've tried to do even recently is for 5 minutes before I even get out of bed, just stay there and don't do anything. Just sit there and think and pray and to clear my mind.
I do that too sometimes, but then I fall asleep.
Yeah. Well, normally it's like I have 5 minutes because my child will wake up in the 6 minute. So I have to really sneak it in.
Yeah, that's right. You said something earlier today too about how you probably shouldn't look at your phone for a half hour before you go to bed and in the first half hour after you wake up.
Right, exactly. There is some like science behind that. And yet half of us, or more than half of us, a lot of us go, well, I use my phone to fall asleep. You know, I'm scrolling through something or I'm reading something, or, and it's just when the collective world is saying, hey, this is bad for you, and we all are still doing it, we have to take it. That's what this wake up call is all about, right? We have to change the way we're going about it.
You know, it's so funny. We talk about the word freedom, and it's like, if somebody came up to you and said, hey, how would you like to have your day determined by what somebody put in your inbox, they texted you, or they put in your email, or how would you like to spend time choosing how you want to spend your day? You would say, well, it would be freeing to choose my own day.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we imprison ourselves by the first thing going to, what's the world telling me to do?
Mm-hmm. Totally. Every day.
So what do you suggest, aside from praying and stretching or whatever, what do you suggest leaders do in addition to that to prepare them for a proactive day, not a reactive day?
Well, the first thing I would say is don't look at external things.
Mm-hmm.
Go inside and really spend time reflecting or doing something solitary and slowing down. We talk about this idea of slowing down to go fast.
Mm-hmm.
People who do this will get way more done in the day than people who don't.
Mm-hmm.
People that say, I am going to force myself to spend a half hour in peace, will end up being so much more productive. It's like the beginning of a race. You don't sprint at the beginning of a marathon.
Right. Yeah, that makes tons of sense. I think the other thing that came to mind is, because we've had this conversation at home, is in part how your morning goes is a nighttime conversation as well. You know, it's like, we think like, oh, I'm not a morning person. What I realized after years and years of saying I'm not a morning person is I killed the morning person by going to sleep late or watching too much TV or do whatever it is. Like you're not just going to be able to burn the candle at both ends or whatever. You kind of have to prepare for that.
Sure.
I have a friend who actually, his thing is he does some coaching and teaches people around like strength and conditioning and health and that sort of thing. And he says, one of his phrases is, I prep my coffee at night. And I said that and Tracy's like, well, yeah, of course I prep my coffee at night too. And I was like, well, I don't even think about that. I wake up and I decide, am I going to have coffee today or am I going to do this? And I let other external factors sort of dictate what I'm going to do. And that is a recipe for being tired a lot and not knowing exactly how to plan your day.
I think it comes down to something we've talked about in the past called the adrenaline addiction, which is, I think that's in the morning we say, give me adrenaline, get me going. And that is defaulting to like somebody just light my pants on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And we drink coffee in the morning. Sometimes we drink it because it gives us comfort and we like the smell and the taste of it. Sometimes it's like, oh my gosh, it's the only way I'm going to get going.
I have to get going. Yeah.
And so what we have to start doing is saying, I think we should let our natural process of being by ourselves get us moving rather than trying to have the rest of the world stimulate that.
And it's funny, we were talking about this, is like, this applies not just to leadership and it's not just personal development. It's actually, we're thinking about it from an organizational standpoint where we talk about the daily stand-up meeting. And that should be a 5-minute meeting that we have every single day. And what happens is we come into the office and we do exactly the same thing we do in the morning personally, which is we just come in and we go default to everyone sits at their laptop. They respond to the most urgent emails. And then maybe a little bit into the meeting, we're like, shouldn't we have a daily check-in meeting? And we end up the days that we don't, we know it's good for us and we don't do it all the time.
That's right. We default to the busy work. Mm-hmm. Checking our email and doing stuff that's not important necessarily.
We've even changed the nature of the daily check-in to be more focused on the big important things.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
It used to be like, just tell us what you're working on. Mm-mm. And it was weird. And now we said, no, here's the biggest things going on across the company. What are you going to do today to contribute to this?
Mm-hmm.
Which is more about the opportunity that we're trying to achieve rather than the reactiveness.
Totally.
In fact, somebody came out with a cheesy idea for an alarm clock. Said, don't call it an alarm clock, to call it an opportunity clock, which is a good idea. We decided that was a good invention. It just wasn't a very good discernment of the right name.
That's right.
It wasn't a great name for that. But yeah, I do think it seems to me that you should do something introspective, like you said. You should do something physical, like that you actually do either 5 minutes of stretching. I have a friend who calls this thing he does in the morning, the power hour.
Which think about this. And this is going to be over the top in terms of it's an entire hour, and yet it would still be totally worth doing. Tell us about the power hour.
Which the power hour, I think, means something different in college, but what he's far beyond college. He wakes up and he tries to do 15 minutes of reading, 15 minutes of prayer, meditation, 15 minutes of stretching, and then 15 minutes of exercise. And it does sound, when you say like an hour, oh man, but if you did all of that just 15 minute blocks, you would be way more prepared to get more done for the rest of your day.
You ever walk into work and you think, like when you have a good morning, you're like, man, I feel totally ready to do stuff. Mm-hmm. Or you walk and you're just scrambled in.
Yep.
Matt, you were saying beforehand that when you get up even 5 minutes late, you feel like you're on your heels. And so what does that mean for the rest of your day? Yeah. Going to be on your heels for the rest of the day. So the very beginning of everything determines that. When I wrote screenplays, we used to talk about the first 10 minutes of the script were the hook. Mm-hmm. And the first 10 minutes of a movie are the way it sets the tone for everything else. Mm-hmm. So the most important part of a screenplay is how you open it, because you get people interested in it and you set the right tone. Mm-hmm. And the same thing is true of our days. And yet, I don't think there's a person sitting here that's disagreeing with this. And yet, I wonder what percentage of people do you think listening to this, including ourselves, there's three of us, actually have a morning routine that's built around being proactive?
Mm.
Well, if we're doing like a small sample study, there would be only Tracy and then not you and I. So
I would say about a third.
Yeah, maybe a third.
And I would say the other two thirds are not against it. They're just not doing it.
So how would we go from people who aren't like this to being people like this? There is one useful, like sort of hack, I guess you could call it, that I found in that book, Atomic Habits, where it says that the guys basically suggest that when you say the place and the time that you're going to do something, you're like something like 60% more likely to do it. So when I say, oh, hey, you know, I hope I can work out tomorrow. I hope I can find time to work out tomorrow. The likelihood of me working out without putting a framework around that is really low.
Right.
But if all I do is say, I'm going to work out tomorrow at 7 a.m. in the garage, then the likelihood goes up like 60%. Mm. And so I think like even doing that, like I'm going to read for 5 minutes tomorrow at this table or in this chair can help you get there. That's not a solve or anything, but I've noticed that's helpful for me.
Well, and if it's something you want to do every morning, you should write it down someplace and put it up.
Mm-hmm.
Let your family see it and go, so are you doing this?
Right.
There should be a little bit of embarrassment. No, I'm not doing it.
Yep.
I think there's two things for me that would allow me to start doing this. Actually, three. I'll go with one of your ideas, and that's publicly state it so other people know. The other one is force myself to go to bed earlier.
Yep.
Because I actually think if I look at the clock and it's midnight and for whatever reason I've stayed up, and these days it's because my younger kids are staying up and I think, oh, I should go spend time with them. But then it screws up my next part of my day. And the third thing is, do something for those two thirds of people in the world who know it's important, but don't, just commit to something. Even if it's, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to make my bed and then I'm going to count to 100. That would be better than nothing, because it wouldn't be reactive. Now, commit to something really good for you. But even if you can't do that, just do one thing. I'm going to make my bed. You know, there's that guy who wrote that article that said, here's the number one thing, make your bed every morning. I think he was an admiral in the Navy.
Right.
But the idea is, take control of your day and say, it's my day to use how I need to. I'm not going to let the world tell me what to do.
Yeah. I love the do something, do anything. Cause it's, and make it achievable, you know, make it like, don't over design. That's my tendency to go like, oh, I shouldn't work out. I don't want to get too buff here. You know, it's like, why don't you just work out a little bit? You're not in any danger of getting too strong. But I think it's like, if you can figure out one or two or three things in the morning, like exactly what you said, something. And for some people, it might be silence or prayer, or other people, it might be exercise or meditation, whatever. But something is better than nothing, because every other day you wake up and you just let the world dictate what you're going
to
do.
And to make it more likely, send it to us. Feel free to just shoot us an email.
I'm going
to
steal all the good ones. So
and what's our email address again?
Podcast@tablegroup.com,
and just say, here's how I'm going to start doing my morning. And then we'll send you an email back in a few months and say, how you doing?
Yeah, that sounds great.
I think I just created more work for Matthew, but please
do. We also want to hear good morning routines. Like if you've got a really good morning routine, we'd like to hear that as well.
That works for you. That's great.
Yeah.
All righty. So this is your wake up call. It's our wake up call too, because Cody and I, we're going to start doing it. Matt, Tracy's already in there. Hey, if we included Matt, it's down to 25%.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
So we're gonna take that wake up call. Thanks for joining us on At the Table. Oh, and we want to do a good friend of mine named Joy. She's a regular podcast listener. I saw her and she said, "What happened to the advertisements? She loved when we did ads for companies that didn't pay us."
Yeah.
And today we decided we're gonna do an ad for Dr. Pepper. When we talk to people like, "What's your favorite soft drink?" I swear, 8 out of 10 people will say Dr. Pepper.
It's always Dr. Pepper.
We have a little mini Dr. Pepper sitting in here. We can tell
Matt
you.
Matt consumed it during the podcast. There you go.
We thought it's lovely. Dr. Pepper, that's our commercial for a soft drink. Thanks for joining us, everybody. And God bless.